The name of my sermon this morning is taken from our first reading. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And these words apply to each person in this room and each person in your families and in your communities and every person in this world. By the grace of God, I am what I am. So Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So here we are. It's February 6th, first Sunday in February. And I was looking at our lectionary readings, and I had to ask myself, why are we getting this text now? It's about the resurrection. It's February. And then I got to thinking, well, you know, Advent is in preparation for Christmas, and Lent is in preparation for Easter. And even though we are in the season of Epiphany, maybe we're in the preparation for Lent, which is in preparation for Easter, which is really the resurrection. Made sense. But the resurrection is so important that it is in our consciousness even way before we celebrate Easter and the resurrection. I have a pastor friend who said to me once, I can't imagine being a pastor and not being able to preach the resurrection. He could not imagine living without preaching the resurrection. And years ago, when I was a layperson attending Asbury UMC, I took one Sunday and I went to Cambridge. And the pastor at the time in the church, Grace Church, said these words, "We are a resurrection people." Jesus' resurrection is the foundation of our Christian faith. Without the resurrection, there is no Christian faith. Without the resurrection, Jesus is just another dead religious teacher. Everything rests on the resurrection, and 1 Corinthians that we read today in verse 14 says it. If Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So without the resurrection, here's what would have happened. Death, darkness, and evil would have won. It's like one of those alternative histories, you know, where the other side won World War II, except worse. Without the resurrection, Jesus would have had no power over death. And we, as his followers, would have no hope of life beyond death. But because of the resurrection, Jesus conquered sin and death. And as it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus' words, because I live, you also will live. Truly, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Please let the words of my mouth bring the glory and miracle and wondrousness of the resurrection of Jesus into the hearts and minds of this beloved community. Strengthen us, guide us, and set us aflame so we may preach your resurrected Son and his love. And we ask this in the name of your resurrected Son, Jesus. Amen. So as I started out saying, Paul had a tough job. He was preaching the resurrected Jesus. And he was preaching it in the city of Corinth. And the city of Corinth was a seaport town. There were ships coming in from all over the known world. And they thought they were pretty full of themselves. Just like if you're from New York, you're like, I'm a New Yorker.
So just deal with it.
You know? Or in my case, if you're from New Jersey, hey, I'm a Jersey boy. Yeah, you got a problem with that? Yeah, let's take it outside later, okay? Yeah, okay. And I was blessed to marry a Jersey girl. I grew up in a suburb of Asbury Park. My wife grew up in a suburb of Camden. Don't think too hard about that. Our daughter married a Jersey family, although they're from the north, but we ignore that fact. It's still Jersey as far as we're concerned. So this is the attitude that the people at Corinth had. They were a tough sell. And because it was a seaport town, there were temples and statues of other kinds of gods all over the city. Everywhere you looked, there was a statue of a different god or a temple to a different god. And yet, Paul found himself preaching what Professor Carla Works at Wesley Seminary calls a scandal. The scandal was the resurrected Jesus, that the God of the Jewish people would actually resurrect some raggedy criminal. That was a scandal. And because of all this, the people in the Church of Corinth, yeah, they attend a church every Sunday, but they had some doubts. They had some doubts. 2 weeks ago, I preached on the body of Christ and all parts of the body of Christ are equal. That came from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth because the people had doubts about that. And today I'm preaching on the resurrection because some of the people in the church in Corinth had doubts. They were asking questions. But if you do a Google search, you're going to find current articles on Google. Oh, was the resurrection real, really real, really real? Not really real, just kind of like semi-real. I mean, do a Google search. But, the people in Corinth were asking these questions. Why? How would God raise Jesus from the dead? And, well, okay, can't we just be like Christians without all the resurrection stuff? Because I don't want to think about that. They wondered, what is the big deal? And here's what they needed. Paul prayed on this. And when Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthians, look at what he wrote in what we read today. In verse 3, Christ died for our sins. In verse 4, Christ was buried. In verse 5, again, Christ was raised on the third day. And then in verse 5, Christ appeared to his disciples. Do you see what Paul did in just those 3, 4, 5 verses? He just wrote the gospel of Paul. Now, I know we only have 4 gospels. But what is the gospel? The gospel is the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. And in these verses, 3, 4, and 5, Paul essentially wrote his own gospel. Christ died, Christ was risen, and Christ will come again. That's how important this was to get the message out clearly and simply to the people of Corinth. And also, Paul was trying to get this point across. The resurrection was not a resuscitation. You know? It's not if you watch any kind of TV shows with 911 kind of shows and they bring the paddles and they, and then this person, I'm alive. It wasn't that. It was a complete transformation of a lifeless corpse that was 3 days old into a life-filled, radiant body. And what it did was it proved that God conquers death. Yeah, but okay, that's New Testament words. Let's go back to the Old Testament. What is the first thing we see in chapter 1 of Genesis? In the beginning was the world, and it was dark and formless, and God created light and brought light into the darkness. Right from the beginning of the Old Testament, God is conquering the dark. And with Jesus' resurrection, God is again conquering the dark and death. And we have the only religion in the world that claims that their founder died, buried in a tomb for 3 days, and then rose from the dead. Only one. In fact, I don't remember where I read this, but some atheist once said to a theologian,
you know, this religion stuff, who needs it? I'm going to create my own religion just to show everybody how silly religion is. What do I need to do?
And the theologian told him this. Here's what you need to do. You need to preach, you need to teach, and then you need to die, be buried in a tomb for 3 days, and then raise up from the dead, and then you can start your own religion. We are made new in Jesus. We are made new in Jesus by the grace of God. I am what I am, and that is new in Jesus. And the resurrection story is not the only resurrection story we have in the gospel reading this morning. Did you notice what Paul was saying? He used this weird phrase, I was abnormally born. Weird phrase. But what he was saying was Paul had been persecuting the church. He had been killing followers of Jesus, putting them in jail. And yet, by the grace of God, even Paul, a murderer, was resurrected into a new life in Christ. A new life in Christ. And if God can do that with the person who was murdering the followers of Jesus, then each of us have a resurrection story of our own. When we've turned away from God for whatever reason, and then we find ourselves coming back and we say a prayer of thanks because something happens in our lives that we did not expect, we are living into our own resurrection story. When we shut out a family member because we are angry and frustrated, and then somehow the grace of God enters us and we offer them love and forgiveness, that is, in its own way, a resurrection story. Every time we get out of bed, even when we don't want to, and we face a day that we wish we didn't have to face, and we interact with people who we'd rather not, and yet into all of this we bring God's love and grace, that is our own resurrection story. We are raising ourselves up from being too busy, being too distracted, being too unforgiving, being too vengeful, being too angry, all of these things. And so we have this resurrection story during the season of Epiphany. The word Epiphany means revelation. And the lectionary is doing this because it wants us to think about the importance of the resurrection. Anybody ever read the cartoon BC? It's about a prehistoric caveman kind of person. Okay. There was a BC cartoon once, and here's what it was. Two women were sitting on a small hill, and one woman is reading the Bible. And she says, oh my goodness, it says here, Jesus descended into hell. And the other woman is shocked and says, oh, you're kidding. But the woman with the Bible says, oh, no, not to stay. He just dropped in to cancel our reservations. Love that. And it was a cartoon. The Reverend John Lloyd Ogilvie was the chaplain of the Senate for the 5 different sessions of Congress. Reverend John Lloyd Ogilvie was the chaplain of the Senate. And here's what he says. The most powerful historical proof of the resurrection is the resurrected disciples. The dull, defeated people became fearless. Cowards became courageous, and the timid became bold. Because if you think about the disciples, number one, they had a hard time understanding what Jesus was saying. Number two, Peter denied he knew Jesus when a servant girl asked him. Number three, when Jesus was crucified, 11 of the male disciples were not there. And yet, after the resurrection, look what happened to them. They went all over the world. They spoke boldly. They spoke passionately. 11 of the disciples were martyred. And that only happens when you passionately believe in what you're speaking about. The one thing that can explain the change in the lives of the disciples is the resurrection of Jesus. And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, we are called to the same thoughts today. It's also true today. We're not called to only believe in the resurrection. Oh, that? Yeah, I saw that somewhere. Yeah, I believe it. But we are called to live into the power of the resurrection. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And the lives we lead today are the most powerful evidence that the resurrection is true, that our Savior is alive, that our Savior died, rose from the dead, and offers us eternal life. As Jesus says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Being changed by the resurrection is so amazing. I can't help but think of J.R.'s story just now. You announced we needed more Valentine's cards, and someone had their person in Philadelphia, granddaughter?
No, someone that lives in right here in Royal Oak saw on Facebook, and they grew up here, and they moved away, and so she got inspired, and she made some and sent them.
That's why it's better with God doing the work than me, because I can't remember a thing, but... Somebody saw this on Facebook and was so inspired that someone from Philadelphia sent something to us in Royal Oak. That is living into the power of the resurrection, and that is how the power of the resurrection can change us and shape us. And God is offering this to everyone here. And that is such a blessing. And so we give thanks, not only for the life of Jesus, and not only for the death of Jesus, but for the resurrection of Jesus that shows us that the love of God conquers death, conquers sin, conquers fear, conquers evil, conquers all. And that love is offered to us freely, and that is a blessing. And so we give thanks for this. In Jesus' name, amen.